Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Christian Colley. He's James McLean. We normally come into these things with some sort of idea of what we're going to talk about, and then at the last minute, it kind of changes, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
And I send you a WhatsApp message, and that maybe throws a curveball into the proceedings.
It is. I mean, essentially, we did this bit, it went wrong, and Christian's trying to redo this bit, and I'm not playing ball. So it's just annoying. I mean, I was thinking that one of, as we've said before, the podcast medium is now, I mean, we used to sort of say, like, what is television now? You know, we always used to say television is a box in your room, and it no longer is. It's a box in your hand. It's a box on your computer. You know, what is television? But it's also like, what is podcasting? I don't know if you've seen it, but like Harry Hill has a new podcast out.
I watched a little bit of it the other day.
And it's a fascinating, it's not, again, it's like, it brings to the question, what is a podcast? Because it's really a sort of remediation of his TV formats as a podcast, which the podcast is kind of aware doesn't work, and it plays on that. So it's not, you know, what is a podcast anymore? And I was just thinking, one of our USPs for this podcast is that while podcasts are becoming so slick that we deliberately refuse in a way that is perhaps suitable for Gen X to conform to the flow of where things are and remain shambly, I would put it.
Shambly, not shambolic.
Not shambolic or shambly. It's a mixture. Is it portmanteau? I can't remember. Of a shambles and chumblies. Just to bring you back to Doctor Who.
Bring you back to Doctor Who. Okay.
Yeah. Both are the same, am I not?
Fair enough. I don't have a response to that, as you can see. We are planning to do a commentary of a couple of episodes from 1970s Doctor Who, and that will come along. We will organise ourselves better to do that. Basically,
we were going to do that. Yeah, that was going to be fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It still will be. But we've squeezed this in. It's lunchtime on Friday, and I
interestingly, do you know what is the longest running episode? No, longest running story of Doctor Who.
In what sense? In what regard? What are we talking? Like screen
Galaxy
time?
Galaxy 4.
It's Galaxy 4.
Because I've been trying to watch that animated story for well over a year now. And I think I've managed to make it into episode 2. It's just incredible. I mean, it depends on how you assess, you know, what is a long-running story. But that has been the longest-running story. I try so hard to stay with it. And every time I switch it off and go and do something else.
Okay. I mean, there's probably a few like that, isn't there? Like difficult watches in Doctor Who. But that's that isn't why we got together today.
No, I just thought I'd share it because I'm tired, I'm feeling disorganized and rebellious.
Okay. We are getting together because there's a couple of things that have happened in the world of Doctor Who that are not in the rumor sphere. We're not getting into that stuff. But there's a couple of things. One of them is kind of a rumor, but it's like backed up with a couple of posts by Russell T. Davies. And then there's the news about Big Finish securing another 9, probably 10 years if they agreed it last year, and they're only just announcing it now, of license of Doctor Who, so producing more Doctor Who audios and other material. So that's great news. But I was interested by this whole thing about, so this rumor popped up the other day. As I say, it's actually a rumor. It's got like regurgitated after the fact thing that Russell T. Davies and Bad Wolf and BBC Studios turned down the opportunity to bring Doctor Who into Fortnite. And now Fortnite has got in the something like 90 million players or something I read the other day. Maybe that's at its peak, or maybe that's like when they do new drops and new seasons or whatever, but it's like probably tails off as things go. But I mean, that's a peak player audience. And Doctor Who's audience is probably about 5% of that in TV terms. It seemed to me to be a good way for Doctor Who, you know, and we've looked into this, and there's a post by Russell T. Davies where he said there's not going to be any Fortnite back on Instagram in 2023 or 22, I think it was 23. And that's after there had been some skins and stuff, art, creative collaboration in Fortnite with Doctor Who. So it strikes me as being a bit of a missed opportunity in the nicest sense, I suppose. I'm very frustrated by it, given, but I want to try and get, I want to be trying to be more balanced about it. But I am quite frustrated by how it's been dismissed. But just in a more balanced sense, it does seem like a missed opportunity to me.
And I think when you get these sort of situations, and some of the frustration should come from us not knowing why, because I always get the sense that I know as people on the outside, you think, well, if I was in Russell T Davies' shoes, I'd have jumped at that chance. But he didn't. Now, Russell T Davies is a shrewd producer, a producer with many years of experience. He's a massive, passionate lover of Doctor Who in itself. And I know the argument has been that the Doctor doesn't really do guns is kind of the line that's been said. But you do end up thinking, is it just that? Because is there a missing part of the equation? Because I mean, as we said in one of those fabled WhatsApp texts, Dalek attack seemed to have no quandary in violence in Doctor Who. And in fact, to be honest, Doctor Who has never particularly had much issue of violence in Doctor Who. And I think it's a push to sort of say that the Doctor represents a pacifist approach to aggressive situations. And in some eras, it has been argued, certainly in New Adventures, that he was the murderer of many people, planets almost. So it just leaves you wondering, is there something that's missing out of the equation? Because it does feel like it's a missed opportunity. I don't think anyone would equate Doctor Who in Fortnite as Doctor Who being or it being antithetical to what the show is about, if that makes sense. So that leaves me to the question is there's probably something missing from this equation that we don't see or has been talked about
Without.
and considered and has just not reached out into the podcast sphere. But I agree with you. Yeah, absolutely. It feels frustrating when you know there's a massive base there and you know the show is looking to pick up young audiences. Why not? And I suppose that's just the question, why?
Because I mean, it doesn't even have to be. You don't even have to be playing as a doctor character. You know, you could be playing as a companion skin or whatever, and you're beating up Daleks. I mean, the entire sort of rationale that the doctor doesn't use guns kind of misses the point of what Fortnite is as well, where you play with your own character, you create, as you know, you pick up things, you build a skin, you design a skin, you buy a skin with your points or your books, and you know you're not you can play as a skin of whomever, but you're not actually playing as that character. So that misses the kind of point of what Fortnite is, which makes me wonder whether this is more of a kind of a this hasn't really been understood perhaps by.
Could be, yeah, absolutely. It could be. I mean, again, also wonders what makes me wonder whether there's a sort of like a BBC input into this, because if we go back to Destiny of the Doctors, which was a show, which was a video game, which very much deliberately tried to avoid your protagonist having any violent or aggressive tactics attached to him. To the point where, as we know, he was just a drunk blob which bounced across various corridors of the TARDIS as you tried
Grok.
to stick yourself into rooms and you couldn't quite fit. So there is an argument that maybe there is something within the sort of policy that, and when Doctor Who has appeared quite frequently, well, when the BBC did their own version with Matt Smith through their own production arm, it was very much story told. So there wasn't, again, a way to, let's say, pervert the ethos of the show. And I suppose it does become quite hard to find examples outside of ones going 40 years back, which has, in fact, Dalek Attack really is the only one that I can potentially think of. And even then, they were trying to say he's not killing things, he's using his sonic screwdriver to, well, kill things. I got the impression the graphics were pretty clear there. But so maybe it's actually Lester. Maybe it's not just a Davis thing here. Maybe there is something about the BBC being very cautious about their brand, as many brands are. But I think it goes back to that question that you've just said, which I think is a very, is quite an intuitive one. It's like, is it simply that they don't understand kind of what what Fortnite is, and is that again is an example of how out of touch the establishment and the IP holders of these establishments are to sort of understand. I mean, it was like a Call of Duty thing. I could kind of get it in a weird
Exactly, yeah.
way. Fortnite has its own sort of sense of reality and brand in its brand that doesn't position it in a safe space where you feel it's about violence. And there's a lot of video games which play on the sort of shooting things, but it's not actually really about the violence. It's almost a sort of, it's a weird, either a community or a gamification. It's a, and is this just again an example of where television is out of touch? And the missed opportunity is not because of the Doctor having to keep the Doctor into like a pacifist or non-violent, non-weapons sort of spaces, but just a lack of understanding of what those spaces are and how what they represent in terms of violence. Same questions, I suppose, were once put upon Tom and Jerry, weren't they? I remember those arguments back in the day. Was Tom and Jerry just violent? And
Are we that old? D-d-d-d-d-
well, I remember those arguments back in the sort of like 90s, I think, that Tom and
Right.
Jerry was even then was like, is this too violent for kids? Is it gonna? And you go, well, I suppose arguably, yeah. I mean, they do make hitting things with a frying pan look fun, I guess, but I don't
Yeah,
remember
but
many reports of that actually happening.
no, outside of a Reeves and Mortimer sketch. And then at the same time, you've got
Well,
Homer Simpson strangling Bart.
yeah, and you've got Reeves and Mortimer sketch. No one ever really, I remember, sort of poked points of that they really did trivialize violence in a comedy way, which a lot of kids watched, and as did the young ones. But then the young ones got brought up at the time, as I remember being a young kid, and then people worried about the young ones and the violence in those sort of spaces. When, of course, as we know now, more enlightened, that we probably need to be more aware of the violence which occurs within people's homes or, within their local spaces as being far more a worry than what they see on screens. But yeah, I agree. I think that's an interesting, is that the disconnect here? Is that the thing we're missing that maybe even Davis himself doesn't quite really understand that cultural generation, the generation that plays to and the culture that exists within it? Yeah,
So
I don't know.
for the benefit of the listener, just a quick précis, as a father of children who like to play Fortnite. I've had a little go on myself. I did surprisingly well, actually, on a mobile device as well. So, like, you run around and you shoot other people who are running around and shooting other people. And there's a teamwork, and there's lots of little mini games within it. There's lots of different gaming options and styles that you can engage in. But the main game has a kind of a storyline. And that storyline is builds up towards a boss, and these storylines are also themed as well. So you could have like a Dalek themed storyline, and maybe like an Emperor Dalek boss. You could have Cybermen. I mean, Doctor Who is absolutely ripe for that in terms of Doctor Who's insane,
But I think
like library of villains.
this is the interesting thing with video games, and I'd love to write stuff on this because I'm sure people already have. But how violence sort of works in those spaces is very different. It's a very different type of storytelling. In Fortnite, if there's a big boss and it's a Dalek, I don't think people see that within this construct of storytelling in the way that you would get on TV or even a cartoon TV. They're so hyper aware of the construct of the game, of the game itself, of the ludic thing, that the play of it, that they're seeing these things as skins, they're seeing these things as what they represent in terms of that game, in terms of point scoring, in terms of what access they provide, what becomes unlocked. It's a very different architecture of play than being in this playground and punching each other. It's not the same thing.
No.
And I was playing with one of my colleagues yesterday, Michael, and I can't remember the name of the game now. He sort of said it was like £6 on Steam, and it was, again, I played a few like this, Supervive being one, and there are other ones where it's more about there's a lot of like hardcore gamers who really like these games, not because you're running around shooting things and getting better weapons and power or getting all the weapons, but it's about almost the challenging or the challenge of sort of comprehending and not min-maxing, but sort of just sort of navigating the game and the story almost through what the story provides you in terms of like the power-ups, in terms of the unlocks, in terms of the skins, in terms of, and in that sense, it becomes almost like a communal space of conversation as well. Because, you know, I mean, I went into a room where a load were already playing it on Discord, and they were, the way that they were talking was fascinating because, again, it was all about the camaraderie. It was all about the talk about it as a, almost like a workspace, almost like a, or almost like a strategy. So the strategy is there, and it's storytelling strategy. It's not about the story. And I couldn't even tell. I wasn't until the very end of playing a couple of hours and said, "Oh, you've got to go here and go and meet the chef, and you'll unlock other things." I didn't imagine there was any chefs. So it was just things to shoot. You don't, the stories you're not really following because it's not about that. It's a sand, or it's not a sandbox in that strictest term, like Grand Theft Auto is a sandbox potentially, or you know, Minecraft. It's, but it has those qualities of it being like a space of play than a space of story, I guess. And Fortnite's one of those things. And yeah, I just wonder whether that's just not understood by people who don't exist within those community spaces.
And which is, I mean, it is a pity. It is. We've obviously moved on from that, and I mean, maybe there'll be another opportunity in the future. Who knows? That's another matter entirely, though, isn't it? I mean, we've talked about video games. We've talked to you before on plenty of occasions, and there are, we've even published something on it. Many years ago. So, and you can check that out. That's available in the Patreon, patreon.com/Cass Durbish. You can have a look at that over there. The other thing we were going to talk about, as I said earlier, is Big Finish's extended Doctor Who license, which is now extended to at least 2035. So it's been going since 1999. Which must make it one of the longest running licensing arrangements going. Although obviously there's Doctor Who magazine, but then on the other hand, Doctor Who magazine's changed hands a couple of times. But I mean, that's quite good news, isn't it? Because Big Finish is a big part of Doctor Who and has been. It's Doctor Who ended in 1989, came back briefly in 1996. It was another 6 years between 1999 and 2005 before Doctor Who actually came back on screen. And there was, I remember there was a lot of speculation that that might be the end of Big Finish, wasn't it? That maybe the BBC would bring in house its audio production of Doctor Who and stuff. But I think it made the right decision in leaving it external.
Which was interesting because because they did do some of their own stuff, and then they did do some of their stuff, I think, with Big Finish, kind of under
Yeah,
their
there's
own
some Eighth
banner.
Doctor stuff, wasn't there, I think.
Yeah, and yeah, the radio stuff they did, which was all with Big Finish as well. And I thought that was a very cagey move, rather than as we've seen in the past, where, like back in the 90s with the Virgin Books, and when BBC decided that this was something they wanted to bring back in-house, they took it back rather and pretty much took all the writers as well and carried on under their own line, which was slightly different. But here was an example of them not doing that, and it's worked. And I mean, what's that like, 30 years of Big Finish? Is it, when did it start? Is it, was it
99.
99? Oh, not quite then,
The
sorry.
range has been going since 1999. I think Big Finish itself was around a couple of years before that,
That's why I was
perhaps.
thinking 97, 96. But yeah, I mean, that's, it's incredible to think that that's, you know, been going for like 30 years. And I think it's all, I think what's also interesting about it is that when you think of intergenerations, and I'd love to see the demographics for it as well. And again, I think this is where they've probably been actually very smart and very slowly building up their sort of new Who range to prevent that sort of drop off that you would think that once, as the classic era gets further and further away, there's going to be less people, more and more inclined to buy into ancillary stuff around that era. So you need to be sort of producing stuff which will become the classic stuff for the, you know, the late millennials and the Gen Zs. So where they'll go with it in the next few years will be interesting, and how much will it be, you know, where does that demographic sit? Is it still sort of like Gen Xers and Boomers who are the main demographics for Big Finish? Are they the ones, or is it not? Or is it now millennials? Has it shifted? I'd really be interested to know who is actually buying into the audio ranges. And whether like the podcasts, as we were saying earlier, now that audio has become a far bigger thing, does that mean it's become almost a more of a natural gravitation for younger fans to actually get hold of it? And we know if they've got Spotify for free, there's a lot of old Big Finish stuff on there as well to tap them into that sort of space. So yeah, it's really interesting where it's going, and good on them because they've done good work.
Yeah, and there's plenty of other stuff that they've done beyond Doctor Who. Of course, they've done Blake Seven, they've done The Avengers, Dark Shadows,
Judge Dredd.
Judge Dredd. There's the Penguin books adaptations as well. Have they done Judge Dredd?
I thought they did Judge Dredd and Strontium Dog very early on. I'm sure
All right.
they did as one of some of their early lines.
Okay.
But yeah, they've done everything. Space 1999,
Yeah.
It's been an incredible outlet for sort of re-engaging with older material. Yeah, and it's still going strong. And their Doctor Who line is going strong, which is, again, very interesting. I wonder again how that translates into numbers. I mean, obviously, it still remains profitable.
Yeah, Space 1999, Space Precinct got
Yeah, Space
revival,
Precinct. I forgot about
Stargate
that.
as
Yeah,
well. They've
Stargate.
done Star Trek.
Did they?
I don't know. I didn't know this.
I didn't know
Star
they did
Trek
Star Trek.
Prometheus,
Oh, right. Okay.
which
That's a
was
surprising one.
I'll get more info on that. So that was in 2018.
2018.
So those are stories narrated by Alec Newman.
Okay.
Survivors, Terrorhawks.
Yeah, Survivors, of course, and Terrorhawks. Yeah, that was quite an
Yeah.
interesting one for a show which was, puppets.
Yeah.
To actually do an audio play was, it's a really interesting space.
So yeah, very, very large range of productions, but of course Doctor Who is the core of all of it, and I don't know if I have. I mean, this is a big question, I know, but it seems sensible to ask it. Do you have a Big Finish adventure or serial that you really, really enjoyed and have gone back to more than once?
The one I think I went back to, well, my memory is a Big Finish if we're doing this. I remember buying into the range really quite early. I remember getting the Genocide Machine, I think it was called. It was the one of the first Weston McCoy ones with the Daleks.
Okay.
And I remember having that on twin cassette, because I think they were on twin cassettes back then. And I remember going to work, driving to work, listening to it, and being so excited, to hear Sylvester McCoy and Sophie Aldred in something which felt almost canon, and it still is kind of almost canon. Is canon? I'm not sure where we go with it, but if there is obviously a canon. But yeah, it was so exciting. It was weird to hear initially, because initially they just used the old 70s score, didn't they? Soundtrack music
Music, yeah, theme tune,
theme,
yeah.
and that always felt a bit weird. It's like, oh, but then obviously they became more specific. But yeah, so I always remember good memories of that, and just that entry into the range. And that was the one that I wanted to enter in. I wanted to go back to McCoy. And I remember Fearmonger as well, with Jacqueline Pierce as well, which was kind of interesting. I was in my head just trying to sort of square them up. I remember that in my memory. But in terms of ones which I've gone back to, I've gone back to the anniversary one they did. What was the name of it? The big one that Nick Pegg did with all the cast that they released in. They did big souvenir releases. So it must,
Zagreus?
no, not the
Zagreus?
Zagreus, the one, the
No.
later one with that, where they,
Okay.
my brain has gone. That one I still have as an MP3 in my car, which I've listened to a couple of times, just because it's got all the doctors working together, and that was a good story. Brain says end of the line, but it's not end of the line. Ah, so annoying. There was the Alexandria one I really liked. I can't remember again its full name. See, this is how prepared we are.
Yeah, completely unprepared. Yeah. Well, I mean, just I'll take some pressure off you. I haven't listened to an awful lot of Big Finish over the past few years. The last thing I remember listening to was probably Dark Eyes, which I think that's probably about 10 years ago.
And that's 10 years ago already.
Yeah. But and I was kind of I was quite into listening to it, but things come along and small people come along and things like that, and work and what have you, and it takes your focus away from things. So I haven't listened to an awful lot of Big Finish over since then. But there is because they did some within the Doctor. I mean, we were talking about all that whole range of things that they did that weren't Doctor Who, but within the whole Doctor Who range, they were doing spin-offs of Doctor Who stuff. And obviously, there was the Jaeger and Lightfoot thing, which I absolutely loved. They also did the Countermeasures one as well. Series, which was the spin-off from Remembrance of the Daleks,
Yes.
which I remember enjoying quite a bit, actually, probably more than I maybe should have done.
I remember Omega being a good Omega and Master when they did a spin-off like Enemies ones. Omega had a really good twist at the end with Peter Davison's Doctor. Master, which was Sylvester McCoy and Beavers, I think, was a really beautifully
Yep.
done play. The one I was after was not Alexandria, it was Alexander the Great. Farewell, Great Macedon, which I thought was just beautifully done and just really felt like a first Doctor piece of work. I really enjoyed the stuff that William Russell did, where he was either the companion or he was the narrator. Those were just a delight to have him do those stories. So there's a couple of those Ian Chesterton ones which I had, which I really enjoyed. There was it's been a great series. See, I'm still just trying to find the ones I like now, because I won't pretend I've been like, I mean, like Brian, our colleague Brian, he sort of got them regularly. I get them every now and then and would be very particular about which one. Oh no, I know it's not that one. Oh, that's annoying. I thought I'd found it. I thought I was right. It's not Enzyme. Damn it! It's going to bug me now. But yeah, it was the one I liked was the special one I think they did for. It was around the same time as Day of the Doctor.
Right.
And it was a big release with all the doctors and a lot of companions. And it was Nick Pegg. It was an all right story. It wasn't one of his best, but it was fun. And I think that's what I always liked about Big Finish was you get ones which were nice because they felt authentic, ones that you felt kind of challenged the format, and ones which were just a bit of fun, which is what Doctor Who should be. It should be all those three things. And yeah, the Jago Lightfoot, I did review one of those, which was very good as well. But yeah, it's been a great line, and it's been a, I don't know, it's been. I think in a weird way, because it's not had to follow the lines of broad appeal, which has always hit the main show, and has given it freedoms which have allowed fans to sort of say, well, why doesn't Big Finish do the main show? It's because if Big Finish did the main show, they'd probably do it like the main show, because there's a reason why demographically it is as it is. But when you don't have that push and you can just do it as you want, it's been a it's really made Doctor Who's a tapestry of creativity and approaches. So yeah, it's been great. I think the funny thing with it is, and I'd love it if anyone American other than Brian could tell me if I'm right or wrong on that. I've got the impression that audio dramas have never really hit in the States in the same way as they've hit the UK. I remember a while ago we were talking to one person in the industry in the US about sort of like audio plays, and they were like, they just don't really hit around here. They don't hit here. Now, whether that's changed since the boom of the podcast, maybe so.
Yeah,
But
I think it probably has, because I think I do feel as though a lot of the trends in podcasting do come from the US, and there is an increasing trend of serial and one-off dramas in podcasting. So, yeah.
But I mean, but is it really tapped? Because you think you've got massive franchises in the States. I mean, I know obviously there's arguments of their decline, but if we think of the superhero genre, never tapped really as an audio
No.
genre. You know, all these big names, even Star Trek. Star Trek has had audio productions, but if you compare it to the output that Big Finish does compared to what Star Trek is in the States,
Yeah. Well, I
I
mean,
don't
if we
feel
cast
there's
our
that sort of
mind back
crossover.
to the 90s, the Doctor Who stuff on Radio 4, that followed a Batman thing, didn't it? I seem to recall. May have been Dirt Mics, but there was definitely a Batman serial on BBC 4 before they moved into doing Doctor Who. And that was one of the reasons for them doing it. So that it's obviously something that's worked in the UK.
Well, I mean, there was the Star Wars adaptations
Of
back
course, yeah.
in the late 70s, early 80s, which
Yeah.
were actually part done with the UK, to be fair, but they were done for a US market. So, I mean, it's not to say it doesn't, but it is surprising when you've got all the potential actors, and you can see in terms of Star Trek franchise, how many of them are quite happy to come back for animation, that you don't have a massive booming
Yeah.
audio industry for those big things like Star Wars, Star Trek,
Yeah.
you know.
Especially when, in this day and age, all the voice work can be done at home anyway, as we've seen with Big Finish.
But then you see, I've always seen on social medias, as soon as they sort of sit there and announce Christopher Eccleston coming back to Doctor Who, meaning Big Finish, the massive disappointment you'd see in the comments when they go, "Oh, it's just an audio play. I'm not going to listen to that. You know, it's
Yeah.
not TV. It's not real." So there's even that in the UK. So it's not saying that UK is like an amazing audio narrative book
No, I
franchise
guess not.
space,
And it's
but.
insane, isn't it, really? Because, there's so many podcasts that have turned into books. And I know non-fiction, two people talking or three people talking podcasts are not the same as a drama or a dramatized performed scripts podcast. But the means of acquiring them are very similar. You can listen to, as we said before, you can listen to Doctor Who on Spotify. It's just very easy to listen to all Big Finish on Spotify. And the next moment on, you might be listening to me and James, or you might listen to Al Murray and his historian friend discussing World War II or whatever, as I tend to do quite often. And that's a book. There's a book of that. It has its own weekend flaming festival every year. It's that big. It's so easy to listen to these things. It does baffle me. And then you've got classic comedy. You've got BBC comedy on Spotify you can listen to like that. Or you can listen to it on BBC Sounds like that. All these great old things that you can listen to very easily. That whole, it's a strange kind of, it's a perception, isn't it, that prevents people from, embracing that.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the. I think a lot of people are very visually coded, which I think is the big problem. And as soon as you take away visuals, and there are frustrating limitations within audio that are to do with visuals, which comes in the way, you know, how do you storytell without the visuals? And sometimes I think people find that frustrating. You know, look, Doctor, it's disgusting. It's got like eight legs and some sort of protuberance coming out of its back, and it's all
Yes.
green and it's coming for us, you know. And the people are
Yeah,
like, I
there's
don't
subtler
like
ways
that.
of doing that, aren't there?
But
And
quite
that's
frequently, even Big Finish does that quite a lot, and I
right.
understand why. But yeah, I think that sort of lack of medium, lack of natural visual medium to sell the reality of it sometimes puts people off.
I wonder if it's maybe something that's geared towards particular. I mean, there's a certain type of person that's more suited to it. I suggest this because when I was a younger person, I would sit in the car with my dad and we'd go on places. We'd maybe just, whether we'd be going on holiday or we'd just be going to college or just going to the shops or whatever. And he would be playing on the car radio episodes, usually Round the Horn, which is a radio comedy with written by Barry Tuck and Marty Feldman. It would star Kenneth Horne, Kenneth Williams, Bill Pertwee, Hugh Paddick, and Betty Marsden. And it was performed before a live audience. It featured heavily gay polari and ridiculous kind of silly flights of fancy and silly, just silliness, because it was just written by Barry Tuck and Marty Feldman. And the point of it was, my point here is that it was performed live. You're listening to it being performed live, so you knew there was an audience there. You could see what was going on in your mind's eye, or even though you couldn't see it. And maybe there's an engagement. I mean, there's a gateway, an entry point that maybe comedy has that maybe straight, I don't mean to call Doctor Who straight drama, but more straight-laced drama that isn't comedy has. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, I think with some weirdly with audio drama, there is a need, almost like there's an extra step to convince people there's not two people in front of microphones in a room,
Yeah.
that somehow a TARDIS landing on a on a paper mache planet, even that doesn't have the same work, doesn't have to do the same work to make people believe it. It's yeah, it's a, that is a struggle, I guess, with the medium. And I think also, I think maybe there's also a bit of just the analysis of people. People like to imagine, like to think that what they are, they like the Gestalt thing. If you watch a Doctor Who episode, you like to all know that you've seen the same thing or you've experienced the same thing. You can talk about it. With an audio, your brain is doing so much more work to,
Everyone's seen something different.
yeah, and maybe there's a bit of that people don't feel like there's that same sense of. But then, you know, people have book clubs and books carry that same difficulty and yet don't have that same sort of stigma that I think audio still kind of has outside of comedy, news, documentary, sort of light drama. But then again, maybe the other problem is that science fiction is inherently a very visual medium. And people kind of expect to have that as part of the medium, which I think is why, which is interesting, because I think with Big Finish, it's meant they've over the years they've made so much effort with the audio, obviously because it's an audio. That's a stupid thing to say. With things like ambience, the ambient sounds, the music, stuff that allows the audience to really feel the authenticity of it. So, like going back initially, when you have the wrong theme tune to the wrong doctor, it kind of jars a bit because you're trying to recreate in your head that sort of space. But also, you know, down to the sounds of the TARDIS or the TARDIS room or even the TARDIS landing, you know, the Paul McGann ones will have this specific sound which was in the movie rather than the sound which was in the 80s show. So, the specificity is there. They try and put so much extra to give you that feeling. You know, if you've got an 80s version, an 80s doctor, they will try and mimic the music of that era as well. But then I suppose that's the beautiful thing about it, is just that creativity is sometimes more creative when you've got limits which force you to be creative. And audio forces you, well, I suppose Doctor Who's always been forced to be creative with what it's got. But I think audio's, I think the beautiful thing about audio is you can never sort of say, you know, can never talk about the dodgy sets. You can never sort of say, well, I couldn't believe it because that just looked unreal, that felt unrealistic. It's as realistic as your brain allows it. But again, maybe that's a challenge a lot of people, it's just too much to deal with. But yeah, if you haven't looked at Big Finish, please, definitely worth a listen. And they're on Spotify, a lot of the early catalogue.
Just to go back to that, Nick Briggs, executive producer and creative director of Big Finish, said that we've been telling Doctor Who stories for over a quarter of a century now, and the joy is that it still feels like we're only just getting started. One of my favourite aspects of Doctor Who is that it never runs out of space and time to explore. Eternity and the universe create a limitless canvas to work on, which I think it pretty much underlines what we've just said, really.
I agree. And I mean, he's obviously, I think the other beautiful thing about Big Finish, and we've talked about this before, is how it grew from a very much grew from a fan movement that was associated with the show. That one of the reasons I think it's accepted so much by fans and the way that it does things in the way that fans like is because, you know, Nick Briggs is himself is a giant fanboy among all the other people there as well that have kept that sort of standard and continuity to the range. It naturally feels nerdy, because, you know, it is nerdy. It's made by nerds. See, I'm still desperately trying to find the name of
Well, we'll
that
put it in the
one.
show notes. You WhatsApp it to me, and we'll bung it in the show notes, and then everyone will know, and your pain will be forever captured in this video stream, which goes out exclusively on Patreon.
Times of Midnight was a good one. Like
Yeah.
Times of Midnight. That was a.
That was an early McGann one, wasn't it? Was it?
Yes, it was.
It
It
was
was
definitely an
early.
early one, right?
The light at the end is what I was thinking of. The light at the
Ah,
end.
light at the end. So that came out in 2013, did it?
Yeah, must have been around 2013.
Yeah.
2013, I think. Which again, was just fun to sort of have Tom Baker's doctor chatting to Paul McGann's doctor. That's
Yes,
something that
I
you
think I
just,
remember listening to it, yeah. Was it multiple parts?
it was multiple parts, yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, I wouldn't say it was the most brilliant, but again, I think those are hard stories to write, and it had the sort of, it was as brilliant as anything Terence Dix would have done for, the Five Doctors is not the most deep story, is it, in any way whatsoever? But it is what it's meant to be, a celebration, and I think you can just enjoy celebrations sometimes.
And maybe it could be said that Big Finish is generally just a celebration of Doctor
Yeah,
Who.
no, absolutely, absolutely. I think that's definitely what it is.
Yeah. Which I think it brings us nicely to the end of this week's podcast. So if
I
you've
wonder if
any.
anyone, I wonder if anyone has actually started in Big Finish and then gone to television show. They found the range. Would that be amazing to have actually made it in your own head and then gone to the show and then seen it and went,
Yeah.
wow.
I mean, well, I remember reading the Universal Data Bank and finding stuff about episodes I'd never seen before. And I have a thing in my head about how they looked, just as you would like reading a Target that you'd never read, and then seeing it on TV, and it looks completely different to how you imagined it. It feels
Yeah,
completely different. So,
there's one very specific about that which I'm trying to hold back until we do the commentary for. But yeah,
okay.
absolutely. Because you would do it with books as a young, when we were young, and the only access you had was the books and a couple of images and stills you'd see either in Doctor Who magazine or a Peter Hayning book. You didn't know what they were like, so it was there was quite frequently that sort of transition.
Yes.
Yeah, it's very, very true.
So, as I say, we're at the end of this week's podcast now. So, if you've any thoughts on the Fortnite thing and Doctor Who as a video game in that sphere and a tie-in and what that could mean for Doctor Who, then let us know. And also, any thoughts about Big Finish, any favourite Big Finishes, etc. Let us know all about that as well. You can let us know in the Substack beneath this. You can let us know in Patreon, which is where this goes out first, in video, ad-free, and in its complete form. And also, oh, and early as well. And you can get in touch podcastdurbus@gmail.com or on Facebook, any of those places, really. We'll be back for a new edition soon. Until then, it's goodbye from us.